You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Welcome, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast all over the world. Of course, everybody knows Starscast. But anyways, I want to welcome everybody. Tonight we have another great show, something that everybody's going to really love, especially for those that are listening, all that we do, all that are on Stars. I mean, you're just going to love this. I want to remind everybody that, well, today's the 29th, so, you know, tomorrow and the next day I'll be working on the magazine, putting that up, doing all that kind of stuff, so it's not too late to send in your articles, your excerpts, your poetry. I will take them even on February 1st. I get stuff even on the 2nd, and I still put it up because I do it myself, and I, you know, missing a couple of days is not the end of the world. Also, we have a special going on, 10 minutes for $10 on starswithazpsychics.com, and we will be having a Valentine's special. I already kind of worked up the details, and you'll, when you go to the site, you'll see it. I'm probably going to have it for maybe 10 days, at least 10 days, and hopefully you'll get all those love questions answered. So let's bring in my guest. She is, well, quite renowned. She's done a lot. She has her own decks of cards and vibrational energy decks, and they've sold an awful lot. And she's got a children's deck, so we're going to find out all about her. And I'm going to welcome Debbie Anderson to the show. Hi, Debbie. How are you doing?
Hi, Natalie. I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, and you hear her beautiful accent. You know, everybody knows I love accents. I really do. I had a French lady on once, and I had somebody from Ghana on one. I love accents. I've always been drawn to accents. So where are you originally from?
Originally, I'm from the UK, United Kingdom. I currently resident of Canada. Although while I'm speaking to you at this moment, I'm actually in Mexico. So I love being all over the place.
Well, that's what's nice about having something like that, right? So all of my guests, I always ask how they got into this field. What happened to them? Some people have, you know, they just have had things happen to them. Some people just realize they had an interest in spirituality. But yours is unique, and I'd like everybody to hear your story, how this all started for you at the age of 4.
Well, at the time, it wasn't a very happy goings-on because my parents were going through a divorce. So my twin brothers, who were 2 years of age at that time, and myself, in fact, they've probably been about one because there's a 2 to 3 year age difference between us. And we went with my mom to move in with my grandparents. Of course, we're going back into the early 1960s, and any of you people out there that remember that, it was a time where children were seen and not heard. So my grandparents having these a young child and babies descend upon their household was a bit disruptive. So it was a case of, you know, be quiet, don't say much, and that kind of thing. So my first experience of spirit, for me, sadly, was not the joyous one that so many young people experience these days. And it was when I was up in bed in my grandmother's house, in the bed where my mom and I shared, my brother shared a bed together. And the ceiling started to peel back. Well, first of all, the room lit up. So I'm in a darkened room. You know, there were no lights on in those days, and not in my grandparents' house. They were very much penny pinching and, you know, don't leave a light on and that kind of thing. So of course, the first thing that woke me up was this light in the bedroom that I was in. And then the ceiling peeing back, and these little ethereal bodies, energy beings, light beings, whatever you'd like to call them, sitting on the end of my grandmother's bed. And of course, not knowing what they were, I've never experienced anything like this. I screamed and cried, and my mum came up and said, "Oh, you're just having a bad dream. Go back to sleep." So So it happened a few more times, and I think Spirit at that point realized that they were scaring the bejeebus out of me and decided that they would go about it in a different way. So they stopped entering into the bedroom in such a way, and that was when they started to just be there, I suppose, in my head as my imaginary friends or whatever you would like to call them. And a little girl, I would play with my dolls and my teddies and have tea parties and things like that. And trying to keep things quiet, which I'd always been shushed by my mom if there was any loud shouts of glee, that kind of thing. And so that's really how it happened. And at that point, I truly didn't understand until later on in life, Spirit, in that form, of coming to be with me. So hopefully that sort of experience explains a little bit of how it all started, how it all began, if you like.
Yeah, you know, oftentimes when we're little, we'll see things, but we think it's our imagination. Like, you know, I mean, at 4 years old, you're pretty young. So, yeah. You know, and you're impressionable. But a lot of little ones see things, and it's their friend. They call it their friend.
Yeah.
And little do they know that it's probably a spirit that they're talking to, or an angel, could be an angel. Sometimes they see it in their head. Now, you saw it with your eyes, correct?
Well, that particular, with the ceiling peeling back, I saw it with my eyes. And I think it, for me, was a frightening experience because there was nobody in that era, in that time, to be able to explain it to me. These days,
oh, no.
You know, parents, grandparents, caregivers, etc., are more enlightened because they have things like the internet and books and people that are explaining this. So when little ones see it today, at least, if they're in an environment, in a home where this is understood and accepted, it can be explained as, oh, it's okay, you're seeing spirit, it's fine. Because I did the same for my son when he was young, when he actually saw my grandfather, my father's father, in the room, although, again, it frightened him. He had a wonderful poster on his wall, and it was of cats. And the cat's eyes, obviously, my grandfather, and I found out after, I realized after he had passed into spirit, but he had come and sort of stood in my grandson's, in my son's room, his grandson, to sort of say, hey, you know, I'm here. And of course, all my son saw with his eyes that lit up in the dark. So he got a little bit frightened with them. And I said, no, it's okay. Tell me what you saw and who you saw. And so he started to describe a man who was in his bedroom and things like that. And I said, oh. And then I realized my grandfather had been extremely ill and had had a heart attack and things like that. And I had returned home from the hospital because he lived quite a long way away. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to get a phone call shortly to say that he's passed into spirit. And yes, I did. I got the phone call later on that evening from the from my grandmother, who said, you know, he's gone, and he's now in spirit. And I said, well, he actually came to visit my son, and it scared him, but hopefully now he understands a little bit more. Because my son actually had an imaginary friend that would play in the house, and because we lived in an environment where there weren't many other children around, i.e. they had to be shipped in, my husband at that time was working on a farm, and we were in the middle of the sticks kind of thing. So
nowhere, right?
My son, exactly. So, and although in the UK it's not quite like in some areas in Canada and the United States, where the middle of nowhere can be miles and miles away, but we didn't have a car or anything like that. So we used public transport. So to go anywhere, it was an expedition, if you like. It had to be planned. We would go grocery shopping, things like that. So most of his time, he would spend on the farm and in the wintertime in the household, and we would play games. And this one particular day, he came scooting down the stairs and laughing and laughing, and he said, where did she go? Where did she go? And I'd seen this little girl run past me and hide behind the couch. So I said, you're playing hide and seek, aren't you? He said, yeah. Where did she go? Where did she go? And I said, I can't tell you because it's hide and seek. And then she jumped up from behind the couch. He laughed, and they both ran back upstairs again. Now, to many people, that would be like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? But because I I was aware of it and what it was, and I thought, oh, great, he's got a friend just like I had. But I actually
right.
saw the friend, and he can see the friend. So it was a very wonderful moment. And, you know, I would hear him chattering away in his bedroom when he was reading a book or playing with his toys or his cars or something like that on the floor in his bedroom. So I'm like, okay, I don't have to be concerned about farming in, literally, children to entertain him. He actually does have a friend there that is part of his life. So that was wonderful.
He was probably very open to it, and I think sometimes, now I have seen things, I have heard things, but I think sometimes you have to be open to it, and if you have somebody around you who can kind of guide you and say, well, this is okay, I do this with my granddaughter.
Yeah, reassuring.
Yeah, you got, and then they're not afraid, because the less afraid you are, the more likely you're going to see more and more. You cannot be afraid. But sometimes some children have bad experiences. I mean, I know that, and you can be afraid and you close off.
Yeah.
But it's so wonderful, isn't it, when you have that ability. Okay, so I had all these experiences, and then what about your first deck of cards? I mean, why did you decide you were going to do that?
Well,
I'm curious.
Actually,
I have a deck of cards coming too, and I'm curious.
It was not my decision. I have to say, when spirit wants something to happen, they do it. And at the time, I was going, you know, I would say when spirit wants us to move into something completely, they give us that opening to do it. Or basically, they shove us. And I've never been a girl that goes with ease and grace. I'm always a kicking and screaming, questioning kind of person. And, you know, for anybody listening, you're going, well, she's a medium, she's a clairvoyant, so why would you always question? Because I can. And because in my humanness, that's something we do. So any of you out there that are on this journey, don't worry. It's okay. It is normal. You don't become this spiritual, ethereal, kind of person. You still have your humanness. And, of course, I was always working with tarot decks, giving readings for people and that kind of thing. And, again, for anybody listening that's younger, you are so lucky. You have access to the internet. You have access to shows like this.
Oh, yeah.
In my day, when I was going through my journey, I didn't have that. I would have to read a book, and the library certainly didn't have them. And maybe there was a workshop here or there or that kind of thing. And I was very blessed to be able to go to the Arthur Findlay College of, it was called then Metaphysics in Stansted, Essex. And that was where I knew I was home. But, of course, from there, I would do readings for people and healings and stuff like that. But I was still working in corporate world. I was still very much in my humanness and trying to do this balance with one side or the other. And it came a point where Spirit was saying to me, you know, you need to move over and do this fully. And, of course, like most people, well, I have a paycheck that comes in every
couple
of weeks. And that pays my bills and, you know, that's my security, my blankie, if you like. And I need that. I can't just take this leap of faith. And I know that you've always given me readings when I've done this, my weekends, evenings, and gone to shows and things like that. But this is a lot of money that's got to fill that void to make it work for me. So, of course, you know, they smile. They do. And what happened, and this is the beginning of this journey, I was in my job at that time, and I sort of enjoyed it, but it was okay. It was all the politics and things like that was going on. So I was in the little tiny stock room sorting through some brochures and materials, marketing materials. We were getting ready for a show that was happening. And out of the blue, literally, because to this day I cannot define how it happened, a box on one of the top shelves fell down full of brochures. It was very heavy. And because I was bent over in this very short, small space, fell onto the back of my neck, onto my shoulders, and basically crumpled me to the ground.
Oh.
And, you know, I would say to people, just imagine this, you're in a very small, tight space. So I obviously called out in pain, and you know, I was wrenched, I couldn't move. So somebody a couple of people had to grab my ankles, and I had a skirt on, grab my ankles and drag me out because there wasn't enough room for them to get in to the space where I was.
So, well, you weren't kicking and screaming.
Well, I don't do anything with ease and grace, as they say, you know, and I think Spirit gave me
that. Oh, they can't call you Grace, right?
No. So at that point, I had to go through this healing process and through physio and all that kind of thing. So I was away from work, and Spirit said to me, so you're going to be now focused on your work. I'm like, no, I'm going to be focused on my healing now. I've got to get this healing done. I've got to get back to work, and now my funds are depleted in my bank, and I'm getting into an overdrawn situation and a financial struggle. I've got to, you know, get back into it. So I was just at the point where I was due to return to work. So I'm driving from one of my last couple of physios that I was going for, and I get rear-ended. Somebody runs right into the back of me, shakes my whole body forward. I do the whiplash with my neck, and I just sat there, and tears came down my face. That was the point when I thought, okay, I get it now, but I still had to go through that healing process. So now they have my full attention, because I'm like, okay, they don't want me to go back to this work, but I'm still in the back of my mind going, this negotiation with them, okay, you know, I'll do through this healing. And then that's when my boss said, I cannot hold your job open any longer. So I'm going to have to fire you. So he made it that I really didn't have that ability to be there. So I'm like, well, thank you, Spirit. And I love it because I visualize them standing there with their arms folded, rolling their eyes, going, well, we tried to tell you, but you didn't listen.
Yeah, well, finally she gets it. What are we going to have to do, knock her out, put her in a coma?
Oh, my gosh, you know.
You were blasted quite a few times. Yeah, and they were going to be relentless. They were not going to let you go, see?
Absolutely.
Yes.
People in my work, and I always say, you know, Spirit give us indicators. They give us signs. They give us signals. They give us that we need to focus on something. And if we ignore them, they send in Greedo and the boys that basically take you out. And I'm joking there. So anybody Italian, I don't mean that in a detrimental way, but Spirit just say, you know, you've got to get on and do this work. Stop screwing around, do it, kind of thing.
Right.
On this next healing process, I was just finishing up the physio and feeling in myself, I'm like, okay, what do I do now? And Spirit got, oh, so we're ready to work now, are we?
Yeah. Now what do I do? What do you want me to do now? Yeah, okay.
My husband, who does past life aggression work, said, let's do a tour, across part of Canada. You can do readings and things at places, and I'll do my past life aggression work. So I said, sure, okay. What's there to lose? You know, I'm not going to be bound here by a job anymore or anything like that, because he would go off on his own when he was doing this. So off we trotted, and it was during that process that. Basically, Spirit said, okay, you're going to create an oracle deck. And that was around about 2010, 2011, 12 time. And I say this because when I started working on the deck, there was this transition period, as you know, you're saying about the magazine, how long it takes to do a magazine. Well, I started to, they said, this deck. And of course, I have to say at that point, I tried to negotiate out of it. Because I have never created an oracle deck. Why would they pick me?
He tried to negotiate. Are you kidding?
Well, here's the thing.
You don't negotiate with them.
Exactly. Well, I would say, well, there's lots of great people out there that have already created these wonderful oracle decks. Why would you pick me? I have no experience in this. I do clairvoyant work. I do reading for people. I do healing. And, you know, when I'd finished my little thing of sort of telling them that, you know, they'd got the wrong person, they just go silent on me for a little while and let me get it out of my system. You're like a two-year-old that has to do the little tantrum.
Right. Let her stomp her feet and we'll be back.
So when they came back to me, they said, like, okay, we've chosen you. Just do it. So I said, okay, I will be open to this and see how this, where this journey takes me. Because after all, I'm doing this work, and you know, if they're entrusting this to me, they must have thought something. They must have thought this through. You know, it wasn't a case of they, you know, I don't think I was a random, you know, throw my name in the drum and this is the one that pops out. So I started creating, and when it was starting to come together, it was the titles of the cards I got first. And again, because I've never done a process like this before, I had no idea what to expect. And that's when, you know, I'd sit and meditate and have my journal with me. I always carry a little book around with me, as I call it, my little book, in my purse, even to this day. So when I get ideas and thoughts like that, I write them down. Or if I see something that I think, oh, that's the beginning of a great article, or this or that, or I write it down. So I have this little book that I carry. And so I started to write down the titles. And I thought, okay, I'm up over the 40 mark now for the cards. And anybody listening in that places oracle cards has oracle decks, most of them are around about 44, 46 in their entirety of how many are in that deck. So when I had gone past the 46 and I was still writing titles, there was part of me that I
thought, uh-oh, this is going to be big.
Well, I'm thinking this is not going to be a deck. This is going to be like somebody carrying around War and Peace kind of thing. It's going to be a honking great big
deck. Yeah, they're going to have a backpack to carry them.
Yeah, a little cart on wheels. This is my deck that I'm taking to do readings with. So anyway, so at that point, my 51st card was the F word. It literally was. It said the F word. That was the 51st card. And then I'm going, you're playing with me now. This is a joke. You're just playing with my head. And my last card was life is a beach. And, of course, for anybody listening in, there is another interpretation to that that starts with a B and ends with I-T-H.
There you go.
So life is a beach. So again, I thought, okay, they are really playing with my head now. So I thought, okay, I will put them down. And of course, you know, I then put everything and I thought, well, now how do I do the next part? So then the words started to come. And for the F word, when I got that, I thought, okay, yeah, this makes sense. It isn't just about the F word that we all love and use on occasion, including myself. I'm human. You know, prick me, I bleed. And so the writing was done, and then it was like, okay, how am I going to, I'm not an artist. How do I find an artist to do this? And you know in the movie Field of Dreams where that he told, build it and they will come.
Yeah, if you build it, they will come, yes. Oh, yes, I know the movie well.
And I love that movie. And, of course, again, it was based on trust. And everything with spirit is based on trust. So I thought, okay, I've got to start looking for like people that I had spoken to that knew now that I was writing this oracle deck and were excited alongside me, even though I'm going, well, I don't know whether I'm going to actually manifest into a real deck or whether this is just a process. Because sometimes in life we have what I call processes that spirit put us through, and they don't become an object or a thing at the end of it. It's just something.
Yeah, it could have been a learning curve for you.
Exactly. So I thought, well, okay, I'll run with this and see how it goes. So then we were coming back on tour, and we actually visited somebody that we had visited on the way through that I had said, well, it looks like I'm writing a deck, an oracle deck, and she was all excited. So coming back through, we had stopped off and did some work there, and she said, so how's it coming? And I said, well, I've finished doing the writing, but I'm still not finding an artist. I'm looking online and people sending me here and there, but it's not resonating with me. And she said, okay, I have somebody that's out of Calgary that I think you should connect with. I said, great, okay. So I did, and that was Heather Brewster, and she's the artist of this particular deck. And so I connected with Heather through, we actually never met. physically met. We have since met many times and spent time together, but it was just a phone call and some emails and things like that. And initially, because she said, well, what are your expectations on it? And I said, well, no, Spirit said, find the right artist and they'll know exactly what to do. And she said, oh, well, that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of, you know, trust. And I said, yeah, I know, isn't it? It's going to be interesting. I don't know where this is going to take us, but, you know, I can understand it from your perspective. You don't want to be creating cards and me saying, nah, that's not working for me. So I said, okay, I'll send you the words that I've created. Pick any one and see where it takes you in your journey on the words. And so she, the very first card she created was Abundant Blessings. And she sent me that in its color format. I didn't expect, you know, I thought maybe she had done a, would do a quick pencil drawing or, you know, a little outline and, you know, this is where it's going. But she sent the whole thing in its entirety. And then she sent Dream Catchers. And as soon as I saw those two cards, I said to her, you know what? You're connecting with Spirit. She said, yeah, I do. And she said, and I don't know how I do it. And I said, me neither. Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
She was connected.
We're
going to
stumble along together. How awesome.
The right artist was found. So I said, you know what? I don't even need to, you know, just send me the images. I know they're going to be okay. Because I've seen these, and I'm, it's exactly in my mind, although I didn't know what they were supposed to look like. Well, what they were supposed to look like, because I was getting this, like, thumbs up from Spirit, you know, and I'm going, excellent. So we move forward with that, and then we finish, and then I thought, now I've got to find a publisher. And at that time, you know, I had reached out to a few publishers, and of course, it was Blue Angel out of Australia said they were very interested in the deck, but they were turning me down because they had another deck that they were doing, and I think they only do one or two decks a year that they bring into their expansion. So I thought, oh, great. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get anything. Then I got an offer of a publishing contract from somebody that I hadn't really heard of. And I thought, oh, I was so excited, you know, that overjoyed, elated. Oh, my gosh, is this going to happen? Until I started to read the small print, and I could feel Spirit going, no, no, no.
They wanted to take ownership, yeah.
It wasn't too much. It was part of the contract, and for anybody that's getting involved in contracts and things, if you're not sure of the vibration of that particular person that you're getting into a contract with, whether it's a work contract or whether it's a publishing contract or something like that, you know, go with that how you feel, read through. And, of course, the thing that concerned me, because I hadn't really known much about this particular publisher, was that I was indentured to them for the next three decks that I would create.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought.
Yeah, they try to hook you, don't they?
And
yep.
I'm like,
yep.
So I did go back, and in the end, they were sort of negotiating with them. And I was just feeling it wasn't resonating. So I stepped away, and my heart sank, and I thought, oh my gosh. Why would I be led along that road? Why? And for anybody listening, I know you're going, yeah, why do we get led in these directions? But as you say, maybe it's the experience, maybe it's because something else is going to come from it. So we, you know, I went back and what I call regrouped with Spirit. So they said, you just publish it yourself. I'm like, oh my gosh, really?
Yes,
and where
yes,
is the money going to come
yeah.
from for this? Where is it going to come from? How am I going to find a publisher and all those things? And, of course, as much as I loved what the deck was and friends and family had, you know, through the imagery and the cards and stuff like that, even though it wasn't manifested into a physical format, loved it, I thought, what if I do this? What if I create this deck and nobody buys it? What? What if? And I know some of the people listening in are going, oh, my gosh, this is resonating with me. So, I had to find a publisher. I had to find a printer, I mean, to do this.
Right.
So, where I was living at that time in British Columbia in Canada, I went into Vancouver and I started talking with a printer there, and he was very open to it. He'd never done anything like this before. And we looked at, I had no idea about cardstock or, you know, anything, not a single thing. thing. I, you know, talk about clueless. I was absolutely clueless because in my mind, I thought spirit was creating this, so it would go to somebody to do all this. All I had to do was hand it all over to them, and they would do the rest. So we went through this journey, and it was a joyous journey because he was having fun with it. I was having fun, but with a sort of an anxiety going on in my gut because I thought, you know, he said, well, how many do you want to print? And I said, well, how much is this all going to cost me?
How much is one deck going to cost me?
Exactly. And, you
because
know,
it can't get costly. And each, I mean, I'm going to ask you this. And any color that you have, if you're using
color.
Similar colors, it's okay. But the dye lot, the colors, I mean, if you have like 25 colors on one card, that can be very costly.
Yep.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, well, they call it.
So go ahead. I didn't
color.
Mean to interrupt you.
You know, you either
but
have
I know
black
exactly
and white,
what you're saying.
Gray and white. Yeah, so again, this is all uncharted territory, absolutely uncharted territory. And, you know, I could hear spirit sort of basically badgering me from the other side saying, just get on and do it. But it was, I had to learn about this. And not only was there the, okay, I'm going to print these decks, how the heck am I going to sell them? What price point do I do? How much is this going to cost? And all of those things were going like a washing machine on spin cycle in my head, I have to say. And that's how it felt.
Right.
It was like a spin cycle going on. And so, you know, my husband said, well, let's calculate out, because I certainly couldn't afford to have 1,000 decks printed at that point. I truly couldn't. So my husband said, well, who are we going to sell them to? He said, okay, we'll find the money, we'll get a loan from the bank, we have a line of credit, we hardly use it, let's do that. And I'm like, oh, so now we're going to put ourselves into debt. I haven't got a job, we're going to put ourselves into debt, more debt than we have, we're struggling to pay all our bills now. And you know, that sort of, when that anxiety becomes so much, and then I just literally did this, I have to let it go. I have to let it go. I have to let it go. And I breathed out and I meditated and I came back out of it. And you know, I just kept hearing this reassurance from spirit, trust us. Trust, trust, trust. And so he said, you know, my husband was so behind me. It was so wonderful. He said, why don't we go out on tour? He said, we'll go from... We were on the west coast of Canada. We'll go from the west coast of Canada right across up and through to Newfoundland, and then we'll come back again.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's a long freaking journey. I can't even remember how many miles it was or how many kilometers it was. But anybody that knows Canada, just
do I have
to
have sled dogs with
out.
Me?
Oh, so
oh,
anyway, this was, so I'm like, okay. So he says, well, we'll set up meet and greet. And get people to come and look at your decks, and then we'll do it. And I'm like, but I've never sold anything before. I've never done anything like this. I wasn't putting the barriers there. I was putting the what I call the quantum physics of it, the reality of it. So anyway, we went back to the, and this is exactly what happened. We went back to the printer in Vancouver with our vehicle at that time. And my husband popped the trunk and he says, how many decks can we get in the trunk?
Oh, my gosh. You had a lot of them printed.
So we had the first print run with 300, I think it was 300 decks.
Okay.
And we had the trunk full. I think as we drove at night, the lights were sort of pitching up out of our vehicle up into the sky a little bit.
I can see a deck flying out. You
so
could have stopped along the way and set up a little tent. I'm reading today.
Oh, wow.
But
so
you had like a little gypsy. How sweet. I love this story. This is wonderful.
So we had some locations that we were going to, and I was going to be doing readings. Of course, I was going to be using my deck and some meet and greets and things like that.
But where did you meet and greet these people at? I mean, facilities. I mean, where did you go?
Yeah. Metaphysical stores, health and wellness, little shows, anything that you could fit in.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
So it would create a journey leaving Vancouver and heading up to north through northern BC into Alberta, then across into, you know, like from province to province to province. And we were like, if I drew a little map of the little dotted line and did it, it was quite funny because so we had got into northern BC, and everywhere I went, everybody loved the deck, and people would buy small little amounts, and I wasn't really making very much money per deck that I was selling, but I was selling them. So that would then allow me to have enough money. So we're to the edge of British Columbia, and we've done all these, as many locations as we can do, and people were buying the decks, and in the stores, and stores were buying the decks, and then I was running out of decks. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to need more decks. So I thought, there was part of me going, well, again, we've only just done BC, but what if people, you know, if this is just like a fluke kind of thing. So we ordered another 300 decks, so printed them up. He greyhounded them ahead of us so that we could pick them up at a location. And we got boxes that we're trying to sort out. And in those days,
half decks will follow you. Half decks will follow you, yes.
Because he didn't have the ability to have them collated. Here's what he would send. Boxes of the card flute, boxes of the boxes for them to go in. So we would stop in a hotel.
You had to put the decks together?
We had to put the decks together.
So you had 52 cards, 52 piles,
52
and you had to put them all together.
Took,
and what did you put them
in? In alpha.
No, I mean,
they were in boxes. He shipped them in large boxes. And we would go to pick them up at Greyhound and try and hump them into the car. I'm telling you, there was nothing. I didn't have nails by the course
end of the
way
yes,
through the journey
absolutely.
Because lifting boxes in and out. So I didn't have the delicate lady fingers. And so this is what we were doing. And, of course, by the time we got into Alberta, from there on, there was 1,000 decks being ordered at the time. But again, he was shipping them, and we were trying to, you know, oh my gosh, it was crazy.
But Debbie, what did you put each deck in? You didn't have anything, did you? What did you do? Wrap a rubber band around it? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
No, we would we had to say in those days when the decks first were created, they were in tuck boxes. And tuck boxes, and see, this is all part of my learning curve here, tuck boxes are what you get a deck of cards in. So the kind
of cards you
poker with or rummy or gin. So these boxes were created. So each of these 52 cards had to be put into alphabetical order, then the guidebook in. So my husband and I were like a little, a chain line. Packing these all together.
You're a production company.
So much space. Yeah, this mini production company. I can tell you, my back would ache. I was so tired. I didn't have fingernails, you know, and that kind of thing. So that's what we did. And I have to say that as things moved forward and the production got bigger, I realized the tuck boxes were just the beginning, and that they had to go into what they call a clamshell. And a clamshell is the one where you pull the top and the bottom off, and it is like a clam. So all my decks are now in clamshell format. But at the time, when the Vibrational Energy deck was created and the Vibrational Earth Children deck was created, they were printed by this printer. But he just couldn't deal with the volume. So after that, I had to move to a larger printing facility that actually boxed them, surround that, the more cover them, because stores didn't like them being open, what I call open, although we had a little tab on them, because the boxes could get damaged and things like that. So this was all part of this learning curve, and, you know, it was all part of this journey. By the time we got to the other side of Canada, Newfoundland, we left in March. I do remember that. We left in March, and I don't think we got home until October, November time, back to BC. And, of course, he did, you know, places on the way back who had just bought maybe one or two or three of the deck, had then wanted, I want 10 now and I want this. So I was having orders as I was going along. So I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got to, in some way, find a better way of doing this, that I'm not so much hands-on selling and that kind of thing. So that was when I reached out to a distribution company in Canada and said, would you like to sell my deck for me? And again, I had to go through this whole process of working out how much I sell them to, so they sell them to the store, but then sell them on to the person. So there's all these
things. Yeah, it's a real
things.
Process.
It was a real process. And, you know, when people say to me, I'm considering creating a deck, are there any tips you can give me? And the thing I say to people, and for anybody listening, this is not being mean or unkind, I would say, unless you're going to hit the turf and get out there and sell them for yourself through the stores by doing what I was doing, meet and greet, sharing the deck, you know, doing a lot of hands-on processing with it, don't expect it to just sell, even though you love it. If you can get yourself a publisher, get yourself a publisher. Being an indie publisher, as I call myself, a self-published person.
Yeah, that's what they do, indie films, when they just get directors
yeah.
and get the loans from people and they produce their own films. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're not committed to your deck 180%, I know that isn't really
exactly.
a real number. But you
yeah.
have to be. You're selling and selling and selling. So if you can't go out there and ask for sale, which I have to admit, I went out with somebody when I first was out, and she said, I'm going to take you to some stores I feel should have your deck. I'm like, oh, my gosh. She said, so what's your sales pitch? I said, I have no idea. What do you mean a sales pitch? She said, well, you know, like your two-minute elevator speech. I'm going, oh, my gosh. So
how about a 30-second one?
Oh, my gosh. And to start with, you know, the first one I went to, the person was very open. And then the next person I went to was like, well, what are you trying to sell me? I'm like, well, I'm not, because I left all the stores just some sample cards for them because I was an unknown. I wasn't the door.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly
the,
it. And
the big no.
But I'm looking at your cards, Debbie, and I just like getting a book. I mean, I haven't gotten your cards, but just like getting a book, the cover, the picture or pictures is very important to me. So
yes.
I'm looking at your first deck, and they're very appealing. And you have
Thank
to
you.
Almost have to feel, well, they are. I mean, I haven't looked at the others now, just the first one. And
mm-hmm.
color is important to me. I like color. I like
yes.
what
yes.
the images are. They can be very simple. They can, but yours are very spiritual. They're spirit-oriented. I mean, I can see that there's like spirit faces in there. I mean, it's just that lady
yeah.
did a beautiful
yeah.
job for you. She really did. She do the other decks for you also?
No, but I have a deck that I want to work with her on. But at the moment, I'm sort of the deck producing side is on hold because, you know. Well, and the other thing that people have to remember is you have to store your decks. Those ones that haven't been sold, and, you know, I order, as I say, 1,000 at a time, and they get sold, and then I order more. And so my wonderful condo can sometimes be like a storage room, a warehouse. So
yeah.
consider that also is part of that journey that, you know, we sometimes forget about. You know, you have to have the stocks there available for when the distributor wants them. And I have distributors now in Australia and New Zealand and in Canada. And I haven't quite emerged into the US yet or the UK. It's coming.
I have a
so,
connection for you.
All of those. Oh, thank
I do.
You. We'll talk about that. Thank
no,
you.
I do. I'm not going to say it on the air, but I do. I know the second in command. I bet you
perfect.
Any money she'll take your dicks. But we'll talk about
Thank
that.
Thank you.
We'll talk about that.
I love
oh,
the synchronicity.
Oh, because I'm
absolutely the synchronicity.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's all about the timing. Now I'm gonna go. Let's back
oh,
up
God.
A little. I want to
yeah.
tell you about what happened to me when I was 32, and you're gonna get a feel for this. And a lot of people have heard it already, but I was very ill. I was actually dying. I got a virus, and there was nothing anybody could do for it. I mean, I went in to and got injections a couple times. I mean, every day I got two injections because I wouldn't go in the hospital because
oh
I said, no, 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 I'll end up walking out. I'm not, I'm not going to sit there and have people come in and look at me. And so I could not even stand Debbie. So the doctor said, well, you're just going to have to lay in bed and read or whatever. Well, I didn't do anything. And one night I woke up and my room was glowing a golden yellow.
Oh.
And I thought the lights were on.
Yeah.
You know, and I sat up and I thought, oh, wow, this is some kind of a dream. I covered my eyes. I mean, I did everything a person would do to try to say, oh, no, this isn't real. This isn't real. Well, then I looked behind on the wall behind me and was a 6 or 7 foot crystal there. That's where the color was coming from. Yes. Now, it didn't speak to me. Nothing. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see things flying in the air. I didn't see anything. I just stared at it, and I kept looking.
Mm.
And you know what? It was like as soon as I realized it was real, I went back to sleep. You would have thought I would have sat up until the sun came up. But I didn't. They put me back to sleep. So the next day.
Because you needed
it. Well, I needed the massive healing. That was massive, yes, because I could have died, most definitely.
Yeah.
And the next day I got up and I drew what I saw because I don't want to forget this. I still have it.
No.
I was working for a girl who was a psychic and a whole big group. I mean, I was the one that collected all the money. I don't want to even tell that story. Everybody's heard it. But anyways. I talked to her, and I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. And, oh, that was just healing. I mean, she kind of brushed it off. And I was on the phone with her, and I hung up, and I thought, no, if something wanted to heal me, I didn't have to see it. I saw it with my eyes, right? So I was never happy with her interpretation. Yes, I knew it was healing, but it was more than that.
It was
much, much more. It was very powerful. But you see, you got to remember, and you know this, some people who are psychics and mediums, they do have egos, and everybody should realize that.
Oh, gosh.
And I was just this little know-nothing who collected the money, who didn't have any gifts, who didn't read cards, who did nothing. I was just like the go-to person and to pay everybody and all of that. You got to realize that. So she was kind of looking down on me at that moment, and she didn't want me to know anything.
That's sad. And I've experienced that myself.
And I really didn't find out anything about it until I had this one medium start on my site, and we talked. But I knew it was massive healing, and she did my radio show with me, and everybody knows who she is. It was Maya Moon. And when I interviewed her, she said, don't tell me anything now. I want to tell you something. And she told me what I saw. And she said, you still don't know what it meant. I said, well, and this was like, I'm talking 30 years later. And I said, but I was never satisfied. And she said, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm getting. And we became like sisters, you know, and she passed away almost 2 years ago.
Beautiful.
But anyways, she said to me.
You, though.
She is. I know she is. Every day I talk to her. She watches me cry because I sob. I have things that I want to happen. But she said to me, I'm going to tell you. Now, listen, it wasn't just to heal you, and it wasn't just a crystal. It was a gateway for you. Something came through, not only to heal you.
Yeah.
She said it was either God or she said it was Jesus. Or she says it could have been an archangel, but she says, I think it was something much more powerful. And she said, you got from it what you were supposed to get from it. You got your health, enduring her health that like you cannot believe. And I really am very healthy. And she said, I think it's going to always stay with you. And she says, I don't know if you're going to ever see anything again. I mean, I don't really know. I have not. I mean, I'm clairaudient. I can hear things once in a while, Debbie, but not all the time. I can't say, okay, I need to hear a bell, or okay, where are you? I don't do that. It doesn't happen for me like that. But then I kind of fell into what I'm doing today. I mean, I started one site. I had people working for me. I mean, it was just like a path that I was put on the path.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about it even up until she left Earth, and she said, don't ever forget what you saw. She said,
yeah.
It's very rare. And she said, I'm really thinking it was God coming to you. And she said, we may never really know. She said, we don't really know. And she said, God doesn't do that. God just doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, later on after that happened to me, I would see Jesus in my dreams. And Jesus doesn't come in your dreams mm-hmm. either. And the one thing was is that I was in a car, and I looked out to my right, out the window. I was driving, and here was this, like, old man, long hair and straggly and no shoes on.
Oh,
I
my
looked
God.
At the ground. There was no shoes. He didn't have shoes on. Okay, listen to this one. So he came up to me, and he touched my arm. He didn't talk to me. He mentally talked to me. And he said,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you believe me, do you? You don't know who I am. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know who you are, except you look like a beggar, right? Then he pointed to look down behind, back behind my car, and here comes all the apostles. It was Jesus. It was Jesus
wow.
that came to me and
wow.
did that.
Yes.
And then he looked at me and he said, everything is going to be all right. You have to know this.
Yes.
Mentally now. I didn't hear his words. And then I went through some trauma with my husband, who was very ill, and I found myself on the bathroom floor sobbing. I mean, he was violent. He had Alzheimer's, but anyways, I looked down,
mm-hmm.
and I saw his feet, Jesus' feet, and his robe. As soon as I saw it, I got up, I stopped crying, I unlocked the door, and I was good to go.
Yeah.
Now, I have not had anything like that happen to me again, but I do know it was, the first one was very important for my life, and I almost was in a car accident. My son saw the wheel turn, something turned the wheel, he was driving, and I was in the back.
Mm.
That's no joke. We would have all died, no joke. So I have been spared, and sometimes I'll say to Maya, okay, you know, I'm being saved for something, but what? You know what I'm saying? It was very powerful.
Pardon me? I think we all have that eternal question. What am I here for? What am I supposed to do?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I know and I love people and I know people all over the world and I help a lot of people. I mean, I'm just very giving and I'm second.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about me. It's about them. And but that crystal, it was mammoth. And she said, I think it was God. I think God came through. You didn't see, and we don't, I mean, unless you pass on, you really don't know what God is. And she said to you, maybe it's a face. Really? And she said, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's an energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how she explained it to me, and I settled with that. I really believe that.
Yes.
And
It resonated with you. So the first lady was just, as you say, trying to keep you down, and you know there are people out there that do that, and that it saddens me because you know I have a gift, but so does everybody else. Everybody is born psychic. They choose to expand and work with that, or they don't. But nobody is better than, or higher than, or greater than. We're all here.
I never spoke of it again to the group. I mean, there were like 50 different psychics and mediums and card readers and all of them that I had to kind of manage. I never spoke of it again because I knew.
Yeah.
Don't bother with them.
Yeah.
They're not gonna want to make you feel really good about yourself, because it's all about them.
Yeah.
And
people in our lives.
Yeah. Mhm.
It's the same as people in our lives where we say, you know. Yeah. I can I share my Jesus experience with you very quickly?
Yes, absolutely.
Mine happened when I was a teenager. I was coming home from school in the UK. And I was on the top of a double-decker bus and coming home from school, and I'm sitting there looking out of the window, and all of a sudden, down below me, very similar to you, I see the epitome of Jesus, his face smiling back at me. I see him in human form. So So, of course, I assumed that everybody else on the bus could see him too. I went to church every Sunday, and he looked very similar to the paintings and drawings I had seen. And, of course, I leap up, eager, enthusiastic, exuberant teenager. I was about 11 or 12 at that time. So I jump up and I shout, "Look, look, there's Jesus, look, there's Jesus." Now, for anybody that travels on public transport today, if somebody shouts out something like that, our reaction is step away. Yeah, well, we don't keep away from the cuckoo. Say a step away from the nutter, I'm trying to say. So that's exactly what happened. Everybody went silent on the top of the bus. I felt really embarrassed. I sat back down and I looked at the seat, you know, like the ground or the seat I was sitting in. I looked back out and he was still standing there and he's just smiling at me, just smiling. No words were said, nothing. It's just smiling. But sadly, that turned into almost not a good journey because that's when somebody on the bus must have known my mum and told her. And then the next thing I get walked off to see a psychiatric doctor. In those days, in the 1960s, if you started to see things or hear voices in your head,
you were cuckoo.
Psychotic or, you know.
Yeah, you were cuckoo.
You know, yeah, and you would get locked.
You're in a shock treatment, do something with her.
So
I never told anybody. Sometimes it's better just to keep it to yourself, isn't it? People just don't understand. I work with lots of readers, advisors, I like to call them, around me, and I don't know. You've got to believe. If you don't believe, then you're going to be lost. I tell everybody that.
Yeah.
They'll say, "Well, how is it that you do this? How do you feel so strong?" I said, "Because I believe."
Right.
Now, I have days.
Anybody that, yeah.
I have days when I'm really upset. And I talk to God every day.
Yeah.
And I'm not always happy with him.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
I tell everybody a dissertation. Okay, you know, you're not,
yeah.
You know, things are really, you need to fix this world. This world, there's a lot of wrongs that need to be righted or right the wrongs. We've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yes.
And then, you know, the day will go on. And okay, a new day. Okay, it's a new day. It's the afternoon. Okay, I'm feeling better. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. Probably, if he had the image of a person, he'd probably shaking his head, "Oh my God, what am I going to do with her?" You know.
Well, I think mine do. I think they stand there with their arms folded and roll their eyes back and go, "Okay, let her get it out of her system, and
right,
then we'll start."
Right. Right. And well,
you know,
but you know, sometimes, you know, doors will open and you don't go through them, and it's a strange thing. Sometimes when you're on the journey, I mean, you fall off the road, you're in the ditch, and then you got to get back on the road again, and it's not always easy. And I am surrounded online by all of these kinds of people. Now, in my real life, I'm not, except for my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
She always likes to hear things and all of that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's quite the journey, isn't it? I want to mention your website before we continue on.
Thank you.
It's called vibrational-energy.com. And everybody's going to see the blues. And, of course, my Stars Psychics has got the blues, and I'm prone to blues.
Thank you.
And you are wearing a sleeveless dress or a top. That's my color blue right there, what you have. That's it.
Yes, and
it's on my site.
I have this blue and purple in my hair as well, the crazy hair.
Yes, you have the color. Yeah, it's really pretty.
Yeah,
very pretty.
You know, I'm 62, and I conclude that if at 62 I cannot just be who I want to be, then when is that going to happen? And, of course, all through life, you know, when I was in corporate world and things like that, I had to wear a certain uniform, as I called it, or be a certain person. And my psychic and clairvoyant things had to be on the back burner when I was on my paid job, as it were. And then when I would step out from that, I could just be Debbie A. Anderson, the clairvoyant, the psychic, the person that was giving messages, the person that was giving healing. But when I was there at work,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't have been able to put funky colors in my hair. But I love it today. And what I found with my hair, wherever I go in the world with that hair, people engage with me in conversation. They come up and say,
"Oh, because they think you look different. You look a little different. You're inviting.
Absolutely.
Maybe you're inviting because you really are." They want to talk to you.
I'm here in Mazatlan, in Mexico at the moment. Me too. I'm here in Mazatlan, in Mexico, and I was somebody somewhere the other evening, and of course the lady made me jump because she came right up behind me and she put her hands on my head and she goes, "Oh," and she was trying to speak into a broken English, about my hair, and I said, "Oh yeah, you know, I love it," and I said, "I could do yours too," and of course we were laughing, but it breaks those barriers. It creates an invite, whatever we talk about or whatever happens. And, you know, I always jokingly say, but I couldn't get into any bother. If I got into any bother, people would remember my hair. So I would be picked out in a lineup kind of thing. So
is that hilarious? You know the lady with the blue hair, the blue and the pink in her hair.
Exactly.
How cute. Oh, no, it's very fitting. It looks, I mean, it's not standoffish. I mean, it's inviting. And you see, you're like me. It's easy to talk. And I used to say to my goddaughter, "Oh, I don't know if I could fly alone." And she looked at me and she says, "Oh, my God, you have people doing things for you." She said, don't ever have that fear. You'll get somebody. You'll get somebody walking. "Sir, can you help me?
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going." She said,
yeah.
"You'll probably get five of them to help you." She said, "I don't even know what. You talk to everybody." And I do. I talk to everybody. I'm very open. I love to help. I'll help strangers. That's just part of me, you know. But you're approachable.
You
I can tell you're very similar
people.
To me.
Well, the thing is, I invite conversations with people. And I think that when we our persona, our humanness that is connected with our spiritualness shines through. And people, you know, I might go to a local show in our community, and I'll be in the audience, and it's a comedy or something. And afterwards, you know, somebody might come and say, "I knew it was you. I could hear your laugh. It's very distinctive." So I go, "Well, I'm glad I'm recognized by my laugh. That's really good too." And I like to have fun. I like to invite in the possibilities, you know. And I go up to total strangers and I have a conversation with them as far as paying them a compliment or things like that. Because, again, that's spirit-led. It's not me saying, "Oh, I'm going to have a conversation with this particular person." Today I was walking behind a very beautiful...
You just fly by the seat of your pants, as they say. You just start to talk.
I love that, I
want to mention your other decks, too, here. I mean, this is not the only one. I mean, you've got, oh, my goodness, how many decks you have. You have one, two,
four
three.
At the moment.
Oh wow! One, two. You have four of them. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
You have a vibrational decks, and you have affirmation cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a list of where people can find the decks, or of course they can go to your site at vibrational-energy.com, and they can order them there. And the colors I see the tones you did. The first one was a blue.
Yeah.
The second one was kind of a purple color. Very, very, I love that.
Violet-y
and
color,
then the third one is like an orange, right? And then you went to green.
Yeah.
The chakras, is that what you did?
Yes. Well, it wasn't actually planned that way. The second deck I worked with a beautiful artist, Kindrea, who's out of South Africa, and we wanted to give this sort of ethereal, because it's a children's deck. So I wanted to invite in that ethereal part. And that deck, you know, everything comes about because of a reason. So the second deck, the children's deck, came around because people that were using the vibrational energy deck, because they loved the simplicity of it. It wasn't reams and reams of writing that they had to digest and understand. The definitions for each of the cards are short and sweet, because I felt wanting people to connect with their own intuition, what the card was saying to them, what the words were saying to them. And then they had that ability to look at the words in the book, the guidebook. So the second deck came around because people that had the first deck said, "Well, I'm going to do one for children." Because at that time there was no children's decks. I don't think there's very many children's decks. I think Stephen Farmer created one in Doreen Virtue, but I don't think there are many other than that. And so I said, "Well, I haven't really thought about it. My son's grown up. I do have younger grandchildren, but they're, you know, I don't have a lot of interaction. So creating a children's deck is a lot of responsibility." So
yeah,
I stopped and meditated, and Spirit said, yeah, we're going to do it. So I got on board some child educators and people that had children around the age of eight. And of course, my grandchildren at that time were very, very young, so it wouldn't have been something I could interconnect with them. And so I would write the words. Tim would create, you know, I said before I could even create the imagery and stuff. So we were working on this, and we would create the imagery. And I would send it to the people that were basically my beta testers. The children were my beta testers. How glorious can you get from that? And child educators, people that that worked in the school systems in Australia at that time, and a couple of people there were saying, yeah, send them to us and we can look at them. Because I wanted it from a child's perspective in a day-to-day way, that it wasn't too wooey-wooey or anything else. I wanted children to connect with things that they understood, like doing chores. When parents are busy and they can't immediately drop everything and be there for them, or when bullying was going on, using the laptop and computers and things like that, and
responsibilities.
And every card has an affirmation, a very positive affirmation, and they aren't all fluffy, as I call it, like my vibrational energy deck. Some of them aren't as fluffy, and it's all really, really. There's some concrete stuff there, because our world becomes a balance between the negative and the positive. So there's things maybe going on that we need to attend to, and we need to be in awareness of. So we can't go, oh, it's going to be okay, all stars and light and all the rest of it. We have to be in.
So what ages are the children's deck geared to? I mean, is there a particular age?
The children's deck is geared for, when I wrote it, it was for 8-year-olds and up. But I do know parents that have a deck, and they use it on a day-to-day basis, so that when they're pulling their card of the day from the vibrational energy oracle deck or from the affirmation deck, they allow the child to pull a card for the day themselves, so that at the end of the day, it becomes a topic of conversation. So how did this card interact with your day? You know,
I know Kim Dreyer. She's the one that did your artwork.
Yeah.
What a small world. As a matter of fact, in my blog, who did she? I can't even think who she worked with. Isn't that horrible? She did artwork
with
somebody else.
Yeah.
Very, very popular.
The inspiration came from her, because she said, what kind of imagery do you want on it? Of course, like the very first deck, when I was working with Heather, I said, well, I've been told by Spirit that the person I align with is going to know exactly how to do this or what to do. And she said, you know what I want to do, and she said, I don't know if it's possible, is what if we had photographs of real children that we could immerse into the images? And I said, oh, okay, let me sit and meditate on that and see what I come up with. And Spirit said, yeah, go with it. So I thought, well, I'll post on my Facebook page to the people that were following me on my personal Facebook page. And I said, I'm working on this children's deck, and this is the idea that's come up, that we actually use photographs of real children, not just from, what do we call it, where they're images that are online that can be uploaded and then
right.
children in that way. We wanted names to these children. We wanted to, you know, connect to these children. So I said, so if you think this is a great idea, let me know. Well, all of
I can see the pictures of the little girl, and Kim actually did her own deck. She's very, very gifted.
Yeah. So
yeah, these are actual photos of children. Or one
Many
child.
Of them are. Some of them are very mythical images, and every child whose photo was used in the deck is mentioned, just their first name, because obviously we want to protect the innocent. Their first name
right.
is mentioned in the guidebook. And and some of the stories I could tell you behind some of the photographs that I have created and came from parents, from grandparents, and saying, for just, amazing. There's one particular, two little boys that are in the image, love me lots, and they're hugging each other. And the mum had sent images of these two little boys together in every single photograph that she had sent, every image she had sent to us. And Kim was working on it. She said, can you see if you can get her to send just individuals of these two boys? Because it was two lovely little boys. And so I went back to her and I said, is it possible that you could send us some with them in separate, you know, separate? And she said, no. I'm like, oh, okay. Is there a reason why she
said,
because if one of them gets into the, these two boys are so entwined, literally. Because every photograph she sent, they were hugging each other with love. You could see that coming through, shining through in this photograph. They just loved each other so much. So she said, no, I can't, because if one gets into the deck and the other one doesn't, it would just be devastating. So I said, okay. So I went back to Kim and I said, I think I know which part these are going to be involved in. And, you know, it was Love Me Lot. And she said, okay, I understand. And these two little boys, when, you know, because obviously when each card was done, I would send the image of the card to the parent or grandparent or caregiver who had, you know, said, this is what the card's going to look like. And, of course, from my perspective, I'm not posting that on social media because it's not my child. And to all intents and purposes, anybody getting this deck would not know who that child was, but all of a sudden I'm getting all these postings from them. This is Ethan in this picture, or this is Jason in this picture. And I'm like, well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't post anything of my granddaughter at all anywhere, ever. I agree. It's private, you know. And but these cards are beautiful. It's the colors, Debbie. They're all there's just something about them. They're just beautiful. I'm quite impressed.
Thank you.
And you know, your artist Kim had her own deck, and somebody else did the artwork.
Yeah.
Let me see. I can tell you who it was. It was Lisa Hunt. Lisa Hunt did her artwork.
Right, yes.
Kim did the deck.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, isn't that funny? You think about this. Look at the synchronicity that I'm promoting all of these cards in my blog.
Yeah.
Every day. I mean, I have a gal who I have permission from U.S. Games. That's really where you should go. Have you tried to get to U.S. Games?
No, I haven't yet. So we can definitely talk about that in a conversation.
We
afterwards.
Will. I have somebody, like I said, she's second in command. And I know her very well because I've been promoting all of this for 20 years. My first site is 20 years old, my Planet Stars. And so you get to know a lot of people, you know. And, I have a nice account with them and everything. They treat me like I'm a little princess.
I
am treated like a little princess. Everybody treats me like a little princess. And I'll take a bow and say thank you very much. I'll do my little curtsy. Not that I expect it, but I think it comes from within, and I think people know, you know, how you are. And I have enjoyed talking to you. I mean, the time has just flown by. I mean, we have until 9:30, and I know it's what time is it there? Is it 3 hours back? Are you like at 6:15 or something?
Yeah, I'm two hours back from you, so it's I don't even know because my phone is
you're 7:13. Are you there vacationing, or are you just visiting, or what?
Well,
in Mexico,
we step away for the winter. We step away for the winter from Canada, and anybody in Canada going, oh, yes, I would.
I'm from Michigan, I know.
I live just across the border from you in Ontario, southern Ontario, and we're very close because we're actually lower than Detroit, and that we're on the same sort of latitude as Northern California. So compared with other parts of the United States and Canada, the weather there, my husband checks it every day. It's so funny. That's his little thing. So he checks the weather there every day. And although there's been a couple of days there's been -3 or plus six. It hasn't been extreme, and that's centigrade for anybody that's listening in from the United States, not in Fahrenheit. But it's not as bad as many, many parts of the world at the moment, including the UK. They've had some really cold weather as well. So
I'm in South Carolina right now, but I moved, and I was in Michigan most of my life, and I hated it. Now, you have pretty mornings just like I do. We're probably across the United States from each other, actually. And I, pretty much anyways, I am not very far from Savannah, but I will tell you, I have never not wanted to be here. Never. Carolina mornings.
How you arrived there?
What?
How did you go from Michigan to Savannah?
Well, my son moved down here with his fiance, and he's my only child. And one summer we came down here, and we were driving back home, and I had my little conversation with God out loud. You either fix this or I will. I don't think you want me to do it. I said, this is my last trip that I'm leaving my son. My son is very gifted. He's very spiritual. He's very kind-hearted. He's just very much like me. He had got his father's brains. I mean, I'm smart. I'm intelligent, too, but, you know, that science end of him. And he would, this is no joke, Debbie, he would follow us coming, the main road was 278, and he would go from place to place to place, driving the opposite way, of course, till he couldn't see us anymore. And he was sobbing just like I was. And he was older now. He wasn't, you know what I'm saying? And I just, that was it. That was it. I just yelled in the car, this is my last trip that I'm going to go through this. I mean, I was a mess. So we went home. I had a business. A man handed me a card. He wanted to buy it. We had tried to sell it for a while, but nobody would buy it. He said, I want to buy your business. And we sold the house in 9 days. Just before 9/11.
Wow.
So talk about divine order.
That was synchronistic and meant to be. And when were in British Columbia, we lived just outside Vancouver in the sort of suburbs there. And because we were on tour quite a lot of time and we had a home there, and it was just becoming harder and harder to maintain and look after and be able to do this without coming back and finding out the guy that we paid all summer to cut our grass and not cut it. And we were swapping down 6-foot-tall grass and things like that. And, you know, my husband, Chris, he said, we need to sell this. We need to move into a condo, something where we can just lock the door and drive away and not be concerned about raccoons breaking into our roof or, you know, this happening.
Yeah, or grass to mow or snow to shovel. Yes, you're right.
It was such hard. It was so hard for me. So I said, well, where are we going to go? And he said, well, where should we go? And I said, I don't know. And I have a Google guide. I truly have a Google guide. And for anybody you listening in that are tittering and going, really? When I sit with intention, and this is for anybody out there, when you want answers and you can't get them from a wonderful psychic or clairvoyant or cards or anything like that, sit in with your laptop, your mind cleared, so you're in sort of what I call concept of, and this was me, I was sitting there and I'm going, where are we going to go to? So I thought, okay, give me some keywords to type in. Warmer climate.
Oh, you did some automatic writing.
I just typed
in. That was automatic writing what you did.
Canada on my laptop when Google was open. And it came up with Leamington, Ontario. And I said, shouted to my husband, I said, where the heck is Leamington, Ontario? I've never heard of it before. And he said, well, we've been to the Windsor. And I've been very blessed. I traveled across Canada many times, but I've never heard of this place. So he said, well, you know, we're heading out on tour. Let's put the house on the market, and we'll connect and find, you know, you can start looking. And I started looking, and I said, it's a really nice condos here, and there's some in Windsor as well. So we didn't have it set down, but my heart was saying, it's Leamington, that's where we're going to be. And So we started off on our journey, put our house on the market, and we traveled across Canada, and we took some time off. And when we were driving into Leamington, it's a town of about 30,000 people, and I always say 30,000 and plus two because we arrived there. And at the time when we, you know, there were greenhouses, there was farmland, it was very flat. And then we came to Lake Erie, and I just stood there and I said, I think this is where we're going to live. This is where we're going to be. I need to be near the water. And so at that time, we were looking at places, and we went in and we connected with an amazing realtor who, to this day, although he's retired now from realty work, he's a friend of ours. And he said, well, I'll take you to see some different places. And, of course, we drove away with this concept we would sell our house. Well, Spirits decided that we weren't going to sell our house right in that moment, and it did actually take us nearly 2 years. And when we did get the sale for our house 2 years later, because the market was pretty, you know, we didn't move at a time when it was going to be conducive for us. It was a buyer's market, not a seller's market, or whatever it was. It was the opposite to what we needed. But I'm like, okay. So when we had the sale, I called the realtor, and I said, okay, we need a place. What have you got? He said, oh, my gosh, there's not much here. I said, we need a place in Leamington. I'm telling you, that's where we need to be. And I need to be near the water. So he phones me back. He says, I've got one condominium. He said, it's in a place you've been in. He said, I'll go through and I'll walk through and I'll do this video, which he did. And he came back and we bought it there and then. And everybody says to me, so you didn't come and see the condominium? Nope. I trusted completely in that realtor because he was our friend. He got everything set up. Our house was sold, and we had very short timeline to do it. We packed up everything, got it into storage because it had to be in storage because people needed a bit more time. And then we started driving across Canada on tour.
So why did you end in Mexico, of all places? Now, do you live in Mexico in the winter?
Well, in the wintertime, that's another story, which we were a few years ago, about four seasons ago, going to go to Colombia, and we wanted a visit there, and everything fell through, and I thought we were dead in the water, we weren't going anywhere, and you know those synchronistic moments when something happened, and it was somebody in a networking group I went to, and she said, so how's your trip going? I said, well, it's dead in the water, we're not going anywhere, we're going to be here for winter. She said, really? And I said, yeah. She said, no, I mean, so would you consider going to Mazatlan? And I said, where the heck is Mazatlan? She said, in Mexico. She said, it's just I've got a friend of mine who just literally contacted me today, and here she is at this networking meeting, and she said she needs somebody to take her place that she rents there over because something's come up and she can't be there this winter. Would you like to connect you with her? And I said, sure, okay, and that's how we ended up here. Spirit wanted us to be here because when we arrived that first year, I just knew it was a beautiful place.
And you were there with your husband, so that's really good. I mean, it's not as though you're alone. I mean, so it's conducive to what you need. Yeah.
There's also a huge expat community here that live here full time. A lot of Canadians come over, as they call them, sobers, and a lot of them U.S. citizens are here. And a lot of people have now retired here.
Wow.
And so you have this huge community that you can tap into. And I have to say, the Mazatlan people are so friendly.
I've heard that before.
So beautiful. You know, I don't think I've ever encountered somebody that I go, oh, it frightens me, or I'm scared of this, or anything like that. Because, you know, we hear all these things, don't go to Mexico, it's dangerous, cartels and all that kind of thing. But we felt really safe here. And the very first year when we came here, there was a lot of police presence and a lot of military presence, like the Federale. So, you know, to some people, they might go, well, there's people driving around here with machine guns on the back of these Oakland factories.
Yeah.
We have never seen And I say that touching wood because I always love to say touch wood, whether it's my head or a table or something like that. We've never encountered or seen anything. It's so safe. It is beautiful. I maybe shouldn't be saying that because we've got a deluge of people coming here. But it is such a beautiful place. The ocean is gorgeous. It has the longest malecon in the
now,
world.
Now, where
and
are you at exactly?
So
I couldn't understand the city. Where's it at? Where are you at?
Mazatlan. Mazatlan. Mazatlan.
Mazatlan.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are so many
awesome.
Spiritual people here. Like every year I connect with somebody that we either do some meditations on the beach, we do full moon rituals.
That's nice.
This year
that's
I connected
nice.
With an amazing lady here that she creates a labyrinth. And so people get to walk this labyrinth that she creates in sand, which kids come along.
How
and they
sweet.
Love to play. And then, of course, the ocean just washes it away, and then there's the sand back again, and it's just is back in its perfection that it is. And, you know, we've done, each month we've done a full moon meditation. She said she wanted to do something on leap year. This is the kind of people that I end up connecting with. So I know I'm here for a reason. The hospice here, they have a big fundraiser every year. And I'm doing an event for them where I'm going to do an evening of clairvoyance. 100% of the money that's made is going to the hospice because it's giving back. So there are all
yeah.
these opportunities
oh, nice.
To do my other work, like these shows that I get to do, and I do readings online and then on Skype and things like that. So there's always something going on. And I get to write. I get to sit in the sunshine. I get to share experiences and food and all of those wonderful
yeah.
things that, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do. I get to spend time with my husband. Tomorrow I'm going with a friend that I've just connected with this year, and we're going on a dump tour. Now, that may, to all intents and purposes, sound really strange. But here, there's a local church that takes people to the garbage dump in Mazatlan, and they take food and lunch up there. And I can tell you
oh.
it's a very humbling experience to
yes.
be able to be part of that, to see the little children in some of these little outreach areas where this church goes, and they have created a place, a safe place for them to bring the children away from any harm, and they get to sing and things like that. It is just so beautiful. I get to be very humbled, and I always say to people coming here, if you have teenagers or, you know, the person that's what I call the grumpy old person, take them up there and just allow them to see how all these people work up there as a community, recycling things.
Right, missionaries are like
putting
that too. I met with one lady who went on a missionary with a group from her church, and they lived in this church, and it was very nice for her. And they would go and take care of these little kids and bring food. And she sat there, and she just had tears in her eyes. She said, "We don't know how lucky we are." It was another country.
Absolutely.
I can't remember the country. She said,
yes.
"She said, now you know, Natalie. I know you know." But she said, people don't realize what it's like in other places. And people complain. Don't complain. Jeez,
yeah. Oh,
you
gosh.
Know, it just,
what
I'm
is it? Somebody
you,
said
just,
to me, first world problems. Not third world, first world problems. Our phone isn't working or the driver cut us off. So we moan and groan and whinge about it. And I've done it myself until I quickly,
yeah.
what I call virtually slap myself on the face and say, come on, get over yourself.
Yeah,
so
we all do that.
Me,
we all have
I
moments
do.
Like, oh, yeah. God, I don't have this. I can't do that. But you have to look around what you have and appreciate.
Yeah.
But it's expected that as humans that we're going to say those things, that something's not going to make us happy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be happy every moment of the day. That's okay. You're allowed.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, you know, it's really, we really have it right here. And you can
We're
attest
very,
to
very
that.
Glad.
You go. To, we are. Well, you know what,
and
I'm going to let you go here. I could talk to you for five hours.
Well, I can come back and we can continue this conversation another time. I'd love it.
Oh, yes. Well, we will talk again because I want to talk to you about some things that won't be on the air, but
yes.
How wonderful. I'm so happy that you saw all of this through, that you listened to your guides, to your angels, to the spirits,
yes.
Starting when you were 4 years old, and look at what you've done. Look at what you've done.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
Thank you so much.
You're amazing.
Thank you. I'm so
really,
amazed.
Really. I mean, you have accomplished. I have ideas in my head, but I never, I have a card deck. Now, we will have that. We found an artist in Spain. I have somebody who will print them, but it's not going to be like yours. They're going to be in the Google App Store because they're not. Your cards are very special. It was just my idea. I'm not having much to do with it. You know what I'm saying? And but I have. I still have my fairy tale. Everybody knows I have a fairy tale, and I really should finish it. It's just really difficult because I go at warp speed, Debbie. I don't stop. I have to force myself to stop during the day because I have two sites and then I have my magazine. And people say, well, why don't you just take an hour? An hour wouldn't be enough. I'd be thinking about everything else. I'm lucky I get to talk to God every day and complain to him. But thank you for the confirmation about Maya Moon. I know she's with me every day. I know she is. I just know she is.
Yeah, both the vibrational energy oracle deck and the children's deck are available as a mobile app. And there's a free downloadable version of it that you can play with before you purchase it. So anybody that just wants some free, even if they play with it for a little while, go ahead. Just go to my website, vibrational-energy.com.
Go to your website. I'm going to say it again before we go here. It's vibrational-energy.com. And you'll see all of her stuff, and it's just wonderful what she's got, and the colors are just tremendous. I mean, I'm very honored that I met you. I really, really am. But I know we're going to talk again.
Oh, I feel very honored. I know. Well, this is a divine connection. I know that, and that's what as individual people, humans, spirit beings, we need to connect with. Maybe we're not going to do something in that moment. Maybe there's something later, or maybe there's a reason that we have that conversation or open that door or whatever.
Right.
You know, there are so many divine moments and blessings that are sent to us, and we need to acknowledge them. And in gratitude, I always thankful at the end of every single day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything.
Right, because this was divine order, you and I, and I haven't gone this long on my show in quite a while. There is somebody else that I can do an hour and a half with, but not anybody that I can do 2 hours with. We haven't been 2 hours,
oh,
we're
well,
an hour
I
and a half.
I appreciate you taking the time. And,
no, come
so
on. No, no, I love it.
Sharon,
I love it,
too.
And I'm going to connect with you on Facebook. Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook.
I know what you are. You're Vibrational Energy on Instagram, aren't you? I think I found you.
That's correct.
Once.
Yeah, Vibrational Energy. And I have on Facebook, I have a group, Vibrational Energy, Debbie A. Anderson Spiritual Development Group. People can join that. It's free. You can participate openly. You can participate behind the scenes. You know, I post something every day for you to engage with and play with and open your senses and meditate and things like that. So, and my other Facebook page is Vibrational Energy 5, because of the five dimensions. And you can connect with me there. And every day I post a card from either the I Am Sacred or the I Am Vibrational deck. And a thought for the day. And just a quick spoiler alert here. The I Am Sacred deck is actually being, as we speak, made into a mobile app as well.
Awesome.
Oh, that's a blessing.
I'm on your Instagram, and I actually sent you a message, but you didn't see it, I don't think. I just said, it's me, Natalie, can't wait for our interview. It was about a week ago I did it. So when you go there, you look for me.
So
I'm following you. And I'm following you under
really?
Stars Psychics because I promote everything under that Instagram.
Right.
But how wonderful. We will talk again because I have some things
thank
that I want
you.
To share with you, a connection that
oh,
I want to share with
do.
You. And if I can help you in any way, I will. And I don't need anything in return. Just, you know, it's fun talking to you. It's wonderful. You're just another person that I know. Just another wonderful person that I know.
Exactly.
Have a great evening, and I'm going to tell everybody this next week. What? Oh, you never know.
Wouldn't that
be wonderful?
Call.
Yes, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Awesome. Okay,
yes,
I want to let everybody know we'll be back next week, same time, same station, and I hope you enjoyed our chit-chat here, and go to vibrational-energy.com and look at all of Debbie Anderson's, all of her cards that she's got, and she offers readings, and something about her mobile app is there, and it's just, it's really tremendous what she's got, and she's got a demo version that you can do 11 Oracle cards, okay, and you have to have a flash player, and that's on her site, so you've got to find that, you know, you've got to go to, let me see, where did we find this, where do I find this at, Debbie? Before we go, I want everybody to know, because people sometimes like to try out the cards, you know, they want to know what's going
if
on,
you want, if you go
what it's like,
you
know, oh,
website.
I know, you go under, about, is it under about, or is it start, no, under start
no,
here at the top.
No, you can go to that very first start here, or even on that very landing page, just scroll down, and you'll see my weekly reading there, you'll see podcasts there, you'll see my channel message for prediction for 2020, you'll see weekly reading, the podcast, and then you'll see the vibrational get the free demo. You can sign up for my newsletter, and underneath that is all my social media links. So everything
there you go. I see it. I see it all. I see it all. All of it here. Awesome.
Yeah.
All of it's on her main page. So just go to vibrational-energy.com, and you'll see her pretty blue hair that she has. She's so sweet. I just love it. Blue and purple now we're talking. But it's
blue
just, it's accented perfectly. It's perfect. Just perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk again. I'll send you an email, okay? I'll shoot you an email tomorrow. We'll connect again on the phone.
Thank you.
And thank you. You're wonderful. And as everybody knows,
oh, thank you.
When I end the show, I always say the same thing. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. With that, I'm going to say goodnight. See you next week. Have a great week. Be nice to people. Do something nice every day to somebody if you can. Feel good about yourself. You're going to have bad days. I have bad days. Everybody has bad days or bad moments or whatever. Mm-hmm. But just be grateful. And you can talk to God like I do every day, even if you're not happy. Just talk. I talk. I actually talk. Sometimes I even yell. But anyways, everybody have a good week, and I'll see you next week. And, Debbie, I will send you an email tomorrow, I promise.
Okay, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, honey. Take care. Bye, Candy. Candy did all the marketing. She's wonderful. She has been in the chat room.
Oh, thank you, Candy.
Yeah, Candy really is cool. She really, really is. She does an awful lot. She has been with me a long time now and been doing this. So, yes. Anyways, okay, good night, everyone. See you next week.